Hello and welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis. And on this podcast, we address the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And you guys, we have some dear friends in the studio, Sean and Lynette Reed. We love them. You guys love them. They have so much going on. Dave's going to tell you more about them just in case this is the first time you're hearing from them. But you cannot wait to hear this conversation. And be sure to listen until the very end.
Yes, yes, because I'm telling you, the wisdom that you're going to hear from them on this episode, no matter what season of marriage you're in, I think is potentially life-changing. But particularly if you are nearing the empty nest or new to the empty nest, this could be a life-changing conversation. So we're so honored to welcome our friends Sean and Lynette Reed. They're a huge part of the EXO Marriage family. Lynette leads our Mediator Institute, which is the front line of helping you guys get the help that you need. And if you want more information about mediation, xomarriage.com/help, you can go there. Or if you want to become a mediator, you can go to xomediator.com. And it's a wonderful program. Sean and Lynette both are authors. They host the podcast, Marriage in Transition. They're beloved EXO Marriage conference speakers. I could just go on and on because, you know, they've got a really impressive resume.
Yes.
They've accomplished a lot to look as young as they look. But we love you guys, and it's going to be a great conversation. So let's dive in. Friends, you are in for a treat today. Our dear friends, Sean and Lynette Reed, are with us. They are so much fun. They bring so much life and joy and wisdom to this ministry here at EXO Marriage. And plus, we just love hanging out with them. And so we were honored that they're joining us here to talk about the empty nest season. We've been in a great series, The Seasons of Marriage, and they are the resident experts because they are fresh, new empty nesters.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
And I know what you're thinking.
How?
They look so young and refreshed and all that stuff.
She looks so young and refreshed.
And they are, but part of it is they've aged like 10 years in reverse because they're empty nesters.
You got that.
Now they don't have anybody in the house. Like, you know, so while I am aging rapidly because we still have a 7-year-old and we love them.
God bless you.
But there's a lot going on. No, we are so excited to talk to you guys because first off, we love talking to you. But number two, we get a lot of messages from folks who are entering into this season.
Yes. Or in the season.
In the season.
And not loving it.
And not loving it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? And it should be, like, the empty nest season should be just a joyful time in your marriage. Now, every season has unique challenges, unique blessings. But a lot of couples, they're just really struggling in the empty nest because their whole life was about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't know who they are as husband and wife without them. And so we want to give hope to those who might be struggling, but also we want to help celebrate those who are entering into this season, all the good and freedom that comes with it. So
absolutely.
You can celebrate all that hard work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Welcome, first off.
Well, thank you. You know, we're here to help people run around the house naked.
Yes.
That's right.
Naked season is what
I can't wait.
Naked.
Like
naked and healthy.
And naked.
Yeah. Naked Marriage Podcast.
Mm.
We're going to talk about getting naked.
I can't wait. I'm telling you,
great.
I'm going to start naked even before we're empty nesters.
That's
that'll share the kids to leave.
Speed it along. Just to speed it along.
That's actually a really great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
then they'll need trauma therapy after.
Yeah. I was about to say, you might have to, you know, support them financially for therapy.
But yeah.
Right.
Probably.
That's cool.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, I'll ease them into it. I'll just do like a man thong.
Partial naked.
For a while. Like,
oh,
so
I don't know. That may actually be worse, bro.
TMI. You may need therapy. I was going to say.
I don't know.
Naked and alone.
I will say. Naked and alone. No. Okay. I'll say this. You can edit this out too. Again, nothing to do with the topic. So I got dressed up for this one costume. You look at me like you have no idea what I'm going to say. You're terrified.
Dave, you wore a thong?
No. I've never worn a thong.
Please don't ever say this again.
No, I've never worn a thong.
Oh my gosh. But if you wear a thong, guys, no problem. That's
right.
That's your thing.
If that's you.
Now, I will say,
you
know,
you be you.
You got you some of them European Speedos.
On the thong thing. Again, you feel free to edit any of this out. I was once at church. You were there. There was a baptism.
You guys, oh my God.
And this touching moment, the guy got baptized.
In a white robe.
So white baptism robe. We said, get dressed underneath it. He starts getting out. The pastor's getting right behind him. The whole church can look. The only thing the dude has on underneath his white baptism robe.
White thong.
Thong.
Is a thong.
Thong. You could see cheeks.
That boy said, listen, wash me clean.
Wash me clean.
Wash me thoroughly.
Yeah.
That so there may be no sin left on me.
He was nothing
I
left.
Know. You guys, it was one of those things, though, where you just didn't know if it was okay to laugh or if you were sad for him or embarrassed.
I would have been embarrassed for him.
I was embarrassed. Sure. Hey, I really, yeah. I mean, nobody like no laughed out loud. Thank out God.
Water. Yeah, that's right.
He left it behind.
He's a new creation.
Literally.
He's a new creation. Oh, man.
Oh, we'll never forget that.
I gave the disclaimer that, you know what? I'm not even going to tell the story I was going to tell. We just won't do it because...
What story? That was not the story?
That wasn't the story.
What is the story then?
It gets worse?
What? A costume. I heard costume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A Halloween costume is what you said. And then I was like, I don't know what you're gonna say. You got to tell us now.
So Ashley and I got invited to this this costume party one time for some friends who were celebrating their anniversary. And they said you were assigned... what you had to pick. It was very specific. And so we chose 80s rockers, okay? And so in putting together from Amazon, the 80s rockers get, the stuff that I was ordering was like fishnet.
Like shirt, mesh shirts.
Because,
Shirt. Yeah.
Well, what that did is it put me on some kind of marketing algorithm where apparently the
Amazon,
the very like flamboyant gay community orders some of these same things. And so for the longest time, I started getting targeted marketing for stuff like man thongs and like all like
there's
it was
a lot
popping
of man thongs
up everywhere.
Out there.
Like
there's a wide variation.
Facebook.
I didn't know.
I started getting invited to gay cruises and like popping up on my Facebook and I ordered this
and a crush.
You might also like these things. Bro. And it was some stuff I didn't know like existed. I'm like, I didn't want any of this.
Oh my gosh. How long did it take for the algorithm?
Like six months.
Eventually, you know, it took a while to clear out because I guess when you order something fishnet, it is a dude. It takes it a while for them to get your straight card back.
Yeah. I will make sure that in the future, in our empty nesting season, that we won't be searching for the
fishnet. But the costumes were great, I will say.
All right.
They are great. They do. Amazon has
You can edit all of that
I'm not
out
even sure why
necessary.
We had this. But
it has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
If you order a fishnet mesh or fish... No, no.
But as an empty nester,
shirt.
Bring it back. You can walk around with
You'll keep it in
that
on.
That's
yeah,
that
can.
Is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not my thing. I just want to be clear. That's not my thing.
That's not my
thing. I was just trying to be festive.
But you like to have a good costume. So there you go.
That's
and
right.
It, all right.
And it was good. Okay. All right.
That has nothing to do with empty nesting. Unless you want, let's do a segue. Naked time can also be costume time.
That's right.
You're not going to weird your kids out.
Ain't that's right. No.
You go be
little
the
role play.
Cowboy in your fishnet top or whatever. You know? Why do I say fishnet? Is that the same thing as mesh, kind of?
I think it is.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it was mesh that I was looking for.
Yes.
But then other stuff started popping up. And it was just.
There's a lot out there. That's all we have to say about that.
But we want to bring this back. Those who are still with us, first off, thank you. We want to thank you for still being here. And
they're the faithful followers.
You are the faithful.
Sure.
Yeah. And your reward for sticking around is you're about to get some wisdom.
That's right.
From the reeds. Some deep, deep wisdom. So, guys, what are you learning in this season? What are you learning as empty nesters? How about this? What do you wish you could go back and have told yourself? As those first ones started to launch, what would you have done the same? What would you have done differently?
Okay, so my answer to that would be, I wish we would have paused each time that our children went out. So we actually made time to grieve as we dropped, because ours went to college. So basically it was a whole drop them off process, kind of crying away home. It kind of, the tears lessened as you got to the third one.
Sure.
We have three children. And so you grieve differently for all of them, but you kind of got a grip on it after a while. But I wish we would have paused to reevaluate, I think, like 5 to 10 years down the road. I think Lynette and I, we were already kind of in this rhythm of having weekly talks, which helped us a lot. And what we realized with most of the couples that are empty nesting, they don't even have like a weekly time, 45 minutes, just to talk about what the vision is for the week, let alone 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. The reason why I say this is because, like, our parents are aging, you know, and so as they're aging, we started counting the years. Like, if my dad lived, if her mom lived, my mom lived to be 90, that's 15 years from now, right? Yeah. Will they make that? If they get that much time, how often are we visiting them, right? And if we're only going once a year, that means I'm going to see them in person 15 more times. Is that enough for me? Wow. Is that enough for you? Like, so we had to not just think about the kids, we had to think about the rest of family. The reason that this is so significant for us is because we started realizing even our money needed to be seen differently. We're at a point in our lives where we're comfortable, we're safe financially, it's great. But what does money mean at this stage in our lives? When you think 5 to 10 years out, we're not sitting around waiting for retirement to then all of a sudden start living.
Yes.
But every dime that we has should facilitate a dream that we desire.
Right.
So how do you make the money matter in this season and maximize this moment with our kids and our parents? And so for us, there was this reevaluating, like, okay, what can we do? Mm-hmm. How often can we see the family? How do we move the money around to see those key members of the family? How do we move the money around to where I'm enjoying with my wife and kids precious memories that we are creating while they're trying to begin family? Mm-hmm. So for us, we thought about the calendar year a little bit differently. It became a memory making machine, and our money is the fuel that's actually achieving that in.
Yeah,
and so that stopping to, I love yearly vision plans because we need it. But at some point, if you don't do this, you're going to forget about a whole lot of things that you should be doing now because you can, and delaying some things that you need to put off later because your knees ain't going to be able to handle it, you know, later on. You know what I'm saying?
That's yes. Yeah, I totally get that.
And time goes by so fast.
Yeah, it does.
And so, I mean, when you've got kids, everything about your world is them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you plan, you're planning with them in mind. Mm-hmm. You're planning with, oh, where are we going to go next year as a family? You know, grocery is about, you know, the now. And so, you know, while we were in it, we never really gave much thought past their, you know, 4 years of college. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when that time came, it really became, well, what do we want to do now that the kids are gone and, you know, either they're in college or they're out of college? It really became, we don't have to plan our lives around them.
Right. Right.
And so it
Which
was
is
like
just totally changed.
Totally different. Totally different. So now we started thinking about things that we wanted to do individually, mm-hmm. things that we wanted to do together. And so it really, for me, it was very hard to think that way. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I'm a family person. I want the kids with me. I want them at dinner. And so it took me a couple of weeks to kind of get an idea as to what are the types of things that I want to do right now.
Yeah. So there was a level of like self-discovery.
Yeah.
For me, it was dreaming forward. For Lynette, it was literally who am I now? And what is it that I'm passionate
outside
about?
Outside of being a mama.
I know.
Right.
Yeah. I heard that's a big, especially for moms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a little bit of a dad identity crisis as well. Mm-hmm. But you hear more of it from the mothers. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we're nurturers. And just because they graduate doesn't mean we stop being a nurturer.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so we have a habit of having to nurture something. That's why most of us get dogs. Mm-hmm. Like when the kids go away, that's why we end up, you know, getting plants or something that we can kind of put our attention to, because we've been nurturers either for 18, 24 years or whatever. And so we need to still do that. You don't have to stop. So I think we just have this desire to see something in its infancy and grow or even just give our attention to, because I mean, we have a habit of doing it. And so we don't necessarily have to stop. We just have to shift what we're nurturing.
Yeah. And the biggest shift for us was we made a decision to say, okay, we're your parents by DNA. But at this point, you're going to run your own life. We raised you. We did everything we could within 18-ish years. And so now you're going to make your own life choices, and we're going to become advisors.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So
life coaches.
We'll give you life coaching advice. We'll give you wisdom here or there. If you ask me, I'll give you answers.
Yep.
But I'm not ashamed of you.
Right.
Your decisions are not a reflection on my failure. Mm-hmm. Right.
You're an adult.
You're an adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this frees us of this enmeshment of living vicariously through our kids.
Man, that's good. That is
huge.
Gold.
But let me tell you, Sean, I agree with you guys 100%, but don't you find in the work that we do with marriages, that is not the road people take?
At all.
Oh, no.
And
no.
Why do you think that is? I know I keep asking that. Why? Because I do feel like it hasn't always been that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you see more and more where kids don't want to grow up. This whole even the term adulting is a negative connotation.
I know. Yeah.
Where when I was, we're all close in age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I was getting ready to graduate high school and go to college, and then from college into marriage and doing a job, I couldn't wait.
I couldn't wait.
No.
Listen, I was getting my driver's license.
Oh my
was
God.
Like, it was a badge of honor.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor.
Then I know I know some of my family members, they're like 20 and still don't have IDs.
Yeah.
You know, still don't have a driver's license.
Our youngest didn't get her driver's license until she was like 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And that was because she had to, right? Because she
made her.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not taking you anywhere.
The kids don't want to. Like, they're scared of it.
That's very typical these days.
Our kids, you know, they weren't excited about the stuff that we were all excited about.
I think there was this level of we 70s, 80s babies were kind of, I mean, our parents were working. They were on the grind.
Yes. Yeah.
So we were kind of on our own to a degree. And in some ways that was great for us because it developed a level of independence and get out there, be strong, tough. And I think our kids benefited from a cushiony lifestyle, you know, and so it gives them that delay. They don't want to, you know, it's kind of like there's not enough needles in the nest to get them out. But at some point you can't, as the parent, I mean, make that sucker more cushiony.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the goal should be to see them get out of the house.
Right.
And that then becomes the crowning achievement of, okay, we've done what we were supposed to do. Now I'm going to trust God with the rest of their journey. I think a part of the problem with parenting is we think that there is a part of our identity is wrapped up in the success of our children.
Yep.
And so we hold their actions so close to our hearts. And if we don't personally, most people that I know, even in my own life, I have a struggle with shame. Mm-hmm. I have a struggle with guilt that I'm constantly battling. That is the crux of the spiritual warfare that I live with in my life, is how to deal with shame in a healthy way to where you're free. And so, like, it gets even deeper when you have this strong love for this human being, you know, or human beings you brought into the world. And you're looking at every one of their decisions and you're wanting it to look like a win. Mm-hmm. And if they continue to go down what seems to be a dangerous path, there's this part that you have to let go. That is a part of the empty nesting process, is release them.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're crippling them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They don't become who they are until they're strong enough to stand on their own. And they're going to make some mistakes. And you have to know eventually they'll come back around. And so God said, hey, you train them up in the way they should go. You plant those seeds. When they get old, they won't depart from it. It didn't mean, though, that they're going to live this perfect little life.
No.
And if we look back at our stories, I mean, we made some mistakes, but we're here and we're okay.
Yeah.
So that's a part of it. And then once that can happen, once you begin to, like, it's almost like if your hand, it represents like the next season. If your hand is this clenched fist and part of what's in that hand is your kid's hand and you're gripping that thing and you don't let it go, what'll happen is you're supposed to cleave more tightly to your spouse's open hand, and you two are supposed to grab God's hand and say, okay, where are we supposed to transition to next? What's our next? Because there's more to life than the last 18, 20 years that you've had. And you now have to discover what that is.
That's good.
You've probably heard Ashley and I talk about the importance of therapy, and this is something that we have benefited from individually and together as a couple at different points in our marriage and in our individual lives as well. That's why I'm so proud to be able to partner with BetterHelp. They are the largest online therapy organization that you can find. They're very reputable. They have helped thousands and thousands of people. I'm one of them, by the way. You've heard us in the past talk about Faithful Counseling. This is the same company. BetterHelp is the parent company of Faithful Counseling. So you can find a Christian therapist. You can do this from the convenience of your home. You don't have to sit in an office. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do it from home, which is what I did, and it's so helpful. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There's a link in our description, or you can go to betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. That's betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. So if you're struggling, consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/nakedmarriage. Having to run to the store every time you need something can be exhausting. And I am so glad that we now have Thrive Market. We've started to use Thrive Market because it carries brands with high quality ingredients and sourcing methods. And it is really user friendly. And we love the stuff we've been able to get there. Plus, it's a lot of healthy stuff. And with a few clicks, you can make simpler, healthier swaps for maybe some of the stuff that you're currently eating and drinking. So I want you to check out Thrive Market as well. You save time and money when you shop Thrive Market today. Just go to thrivemarket.com/naked. And guys, they're going to give you 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. You can't beat it. It's thrivemarket.com/naked. thrivemarket.com/naked. Check it out.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think, too, you know, a lot of couples, when they're launching their kids, mm-hmm. they don't want them to launch like what we're talking about, like to, mm-hmm. to be on their own so quickly. And they try to slow that down because then they have to actually face yes. maybe some marriage issues that have been going they've been ignoring for a while
mm-hmm. yep.
because that busyness let them kind of just keep on putting it on the back burner. And all of a sudden it's like front and center.
Yep. I can't recall the percentage, but I did recall reading an article where there was an extremely high number of couples who get divorced when their children go off to college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're seeing that.
Yeah. But then the ramifications of that on the child side are so devastating because now, especially if a child is away to college, mm-hmm. now their self-identity is just in question and they're struggling being away from home because they need to be they want to be at home with their parents and they're separated. And so they're left to kind of think these thoughts by themselves. And so I definitely agree with Sean. And I love the analogy of the having a hand so tight with your child mm-hmm. to where you forget or you don't focus on your spouse. And then when you're left looking at them, you're just kind of like, well, I don't have any interest. I don't know who you are anymore. Yeah. Yeah. And so I will say empty nesting gives you the ability to go through this self-discovery mm-hmm. of who they are now. And that's the beautiful thing about just an individual is they're not going to be the same. Right. So there is a constant chase mm-hmm. of figuring out who they are, what they like now. But it can be hard if you're not looking forward to the chase or if you don't like who you are.
That's right.
Yes. Mm. And don't you see that a lot with that identity crisis? Sometimes I feel like that's when we can sometimes do unhealthy things and mm-hmm. search for who we are in unhealthy places.
Mm-hmm. I was going to tap into it right there. Yeah. That's where marriage boredom kicks in. And, and a lot of times the driving force behind adultery for people, it's not justifying it, but a lot of the driving force behind it is this idea of a new adventure, mm-hmm. A spark of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, you get an emotional attachment to somebody because they're making you feel adventurous or something like that. And they end up falling into something that destroys their life or their marriage. And so to that, you can find that same adventure, that same spark within your spouse. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's easier and it's less, you know, costly at the end of the day.
It's not as risky.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To really just find their hearts. And so we were talking about something the other day, my wife and I, we were talking about God and knowing God. Right. Mm-hmm. And what was so unique about this thought was, you know how, like, you can read the Bible for years, and then all of a sudden you go back to the same passage and you read that thing again, but you see it totally differently. I mean, it's just like, and you're just like, God, you're so good. Yeah. And then the next year you're like, God, you're so good. You're gooder still, you know, and it's just because you just continue to fall in love with him, and you can continue to search for God until you see him face to face and you still won't know all there is to know about him. What's cool about your spouse is that they're made in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And there are depths to their heart and personality that they haven't discovered, neither have you.
You don't even know.
You don't even know. So you don't ever have to get bored within the marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But what the enemy does is he persuades us that there's nothing else there and the grass is greener somewhere else.
Yes.
And he's lying. The joy of empty nesting is you get to say, hey, well done. We've raised them. Let's send them out. And now let's celebrate.
Yeah.
And whatever the dreams that exist between you guys, and if you don't have any, it's cool. You literally can take, I'm serious, is all get out. You can take literally a whiteboard and some markers and just say, 10 years from now, who would you like to be? Mm-hmm. Not just like, what would you like to have? Who would you like to be? Like, do you want to dance again? Do you want like literal dancing? Lynette and I were taking dance lessons.
Salsa lessons.
Yay! Okay. Oh, I want to see some salsa. Okay.
Not yet. You know,
not yet.
We're a work in progress.
Break it out.
But one of the things that got us was we went on a cruise, and on this cruise, like there were like 80-year-old people who were staying up later than we were on the cruise.
They put me to shame. They're like, this 80-year-old came up to me at breakfast. Because we had connected with her like a lot on the ship, and so we just kept bumping into each other. So she was like, "Baby, did you go to the club last night?" "No, ma'am, I was asleep by 10.
And she was like, "Yeah, the club starts at 11:30, and so we hope to see you guys tonight." I was like, "What in the world?
30? My,
you know." So we get there to the club, and there they are. And then this one song comes on. You know, the band's playing like soul songs, and so some Stevie Wonder's going. And isn't she lovely? Oh. You know, all that. And this couple jumps up. They're just the cutest little couple. And I mean, they're out there doing their thing. Lynette and I, we were sitting down and we just were like, let's get up, let's dance. Yeah. It hit us in a way to where I did theater performing arts. Lynette, she loves to dance. We were like, why don't we dance anymore?
This is in us. Like, we need to take this to the next level.
Yeah.
I love it.
But it was like we forgot. Because we were so consumed with the day-to-day and raising kids.
Yeah, football practice, band practice, basketball practice, grades, you know, getting them into college, filling out the paperwork, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everything, cleaning the house, all the routine, like literally it just sucked all the dream out. And so it was like seeing them inspired us to dream again. And so we literally traveled so much that we were like, okay, we can't really take lessons like everybody else, but we figured out a way to do a course online. Yep. You know what I mean? It started off with YouTube videos. We liked this one couple. We ended up getting a course online. So we're in our living room.
Yeah.
We made a commitment, 15, 20 minutes a day, sometimes 30.
And my calves hurt.
Yeah, it's a workout.
Oh my gosh.
For real.
Yeah.
Okay. So we did that in so many areas of our lives. Lynette started gardening again. You know, I started getting naked and healthy again. You know what I'm saying? And so my point with all of that is if you all were to look at who you would like to become over the next 5 to 10 years, work your way backwards, and then begin to say, okay, how do we become that and hold each other accountable for the quality of life that we would like to have for as long as God gives us?
Yeah.
And when people begin to think like that, all of a sudden it rekindles that fire. That's how you pursue each other in the beginning. And that's what's going to keep you. And after a while, you don't miss them little rugrats being out the house as much.
Yeah. No, you won't.
And it's not something you dread. I mean, you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Absolutely loving it. We love it when they come around.
Yeah,
sure.
We have family text message and we do family FaceTime.
Actually, talk about that a little bit more because that is something that helped us a lot.
Yeah.
In the process of our kids moving out, she especially was at a point to where she was like, I need to know details. And the kids won't text back. They don't call as fast. So you're kind of left on the outside. And so kids, if you're listening and you got parents and you're
empty nest, the phone.
Text them back.
Just text them back.
Just type the word, the letter K.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, honor your father and mother.
That's right. That's right.
And sometimes honoring them is as simple as texting back.
Yeah.
Yes. You honor somebody, you text them back.
That's all you need, man.
Like, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we started a weekly FaceTime, and you know we're not perfect at it, so we miss a week or two, but it gives us an opportunity to still come together. It almost takes the place of the family dinner.
Yes.
Right? Of sitting down together, let me hear what's going on in your life. We talk about things that are going on in the world, helping them to process the right way, and so it's really really great. We get to congratulate one another. Mm-hmm. On certain things that they may be doing, or we kind of say, oh, sounds like you're kind of struggling in it. How can we kind of rally, even though you're in a completely different state? What can we do to help you? So that way, especially during those adulting moments where it's like really hard for them, they don't feel like they're alone.
Yeah. That's huge.
But they also see mom and dad living their life.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which I think brings a comfort to kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a beautiful thing. Like even, my parents have been empty nesters for a long time, but when I see them doing something fun together and enjoying each other or laughing as their daughter, it makes me feel secure in their, like that they're having fun and they're enjoying their life together way beyond raising kids.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine even in that early empty nest period, that really, I feel like that gives them even, it just reaffirms the foundation mm-hmm. that you've already yeah. built, you know, yeah. in your family. And I think that sometimes parents, they underestimate that because their kids are still, they're still, you know, I know they're involved in their own lives and in college and such, but they still are paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Very absolutely. Much.
And they can tell if mom and dad are doing well or if they're not.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know? And so thinking through, okay, if you're the parent who, I'm going to go to the flip side of it. So the response we wanted from the kids was at least just show me you're alive.
Yeah.
Give me a text when you arrive at your destination. Let me know, you know, if you're leaving late at night. I mean, we still yeah. do that. We have one of our children live in New York. Mm-hmm. And so they're traveling subways and catching, you know, Ubers and all the rest of these things in New York.
Yeah. Which is a big deal.
That's hard.
Very
you know,
scary.
That's real hard. So after a while, we told her, like, look, we will pay for your Uber. We don't want you on the subway, right? And she's tough, and she's like, I can do it. And I'm just like, it's not you, it's them.
It's them. There's some crazy stuff happening on New York subways right
you
now.
You know what yeah, I mean? It's just been so bad. And so we negotiated that. And what was interesting for her, this is talking about how the kids respond. For her, in her mind, she was like, but that's so expensive. And so she was almost like protective of our budget.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And what I told her, I said, look here. This is why I make money.
Yeah.
I said, this
you're
is
our,
my,
our daughter.
You yeah. know,
and you're not married yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you're still, exactly. you're mm-hmm. still our responsibility.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so yeah. this is my joy. Let me do what I do. And so we have an Uber fund mm-hmm. and anything that she needs, we just take care of that. My point with that is imagine if that was her being concerned about us over Uber money. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that looks like if it was us romantically,
right.
passionate about one another, still in love with each other. So our kids are watching and yeah. they are protective and they do need that security of even though they're out of the house, they don't need to move back in to make you okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's too heavy a weight to put
they're
on
not,
them.
They're not meant to have that burden.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And
yes.
that sabotages their future marriage.
It does.
That sabotages yeah. their, I mean, it just, and then the dysfunction continues.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, and I know we can't get into the details of this because we're going to have to close out pretty soon, but codependency. I think a lot of this goes back to parents having a codependent relationship with their son or daughter mm-hmm. and it being in place of like they're getting the emotional kind of support and they're trying to have their emotional needs met by a child.
That's right.
Which is really something that the spouse should be yeah. filling and they should be yeah. fulfilling, you know, mm-hmm. for their spouse. And they don't, but if you live in that dynamic for long enough, mm-hmm. it becomes so normal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, if that child goes off, and I mean, it can create a absolutely. Huge yep. rift in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just see that that's been normalized in our culture.
Absolutely.
Like we yeah. see so much more of that. Mm-hmm. And
well, without getting into the details, we've yeah. got some personal like,
we've had experience with it.
When we got married.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was painful.
So painful. And, mm-hmm. and hard to recognize at first. Because when you're, like I said, when you're in it, you right. don't even know, like right. until you're somewhat out of it.
It's the yeah. way the family operates.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's almost how, they, and it's even worse when it's like, oh, this is how you honor your father and mother. Mm. You do what they tell
literal
you.
Literal words coming from the mouth of people like
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're not honoring me.
Yeah.
This and is what God tells you to do.
The only verse they know.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I'm telling you because they literally, and it is a little bit about, it's about control. I mean,
it
let's
is.
Be honest.
It's 100% control.
And it, they don't know what to do without it.
Yeah.
Literally. And it yeah. will. And I just want to challenge people in this dynamic, even the parents who are in the empty nest season, let this be your wake up call to recognize if you have that codependency. Yeah. And it's hard to look at ourselves yep. and say, yep, that's me. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, the best gift you can give your child is to let go of that
yep.
and to start loving your spouse
mm-hmm.
and rekindling that relationship because it's you in your mind. We convince ourselves, but it's for their good. They need me. And really it's just that you're trying to control them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not love, you guys. That's just not love. And I know this is hard to hear, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of, I mean, it may even take a counselor to work through this. But I would just encourage you to do it sooner rather than later, because then when you are in that empty nest stage, or maybe you're at the beginning of it, you know, it's going to have much less heartache if you can recognize
absolutely.
It now.
Absolutely. And what it becomes is eventually where it spills over into is the holidays.
Oh, yes.
And it becomes an in-law nightmare because mm-hmm. ultimately they know they're going to walk into this, you know, toxic codependent experience. Mm. And it should be just gifts. It should just be dinner. Yes, it should yeah. be a great memory. And instead, especially if the kid gets healthy, because if they get healthy, they're gonna begin to say, no more. And that's where it becomes like, oh, you're disrespecting me and all the things. So again, you can't see them growing up and leaving as failure. That is a crowning achievement.
Exactly.
That is a win. You have done your job.
Yes.
Release them to become all that God created and ordained for them to be. And then you have to find who you are now and fall in love all over again. And that's the beauty of the name of this podcast.
Yes.
You could be naked and you can run around the house. Just make sure, you know, figure out whatever that is.
Right.
But it's a beautiful thing to own this season. I'm going to say this other thing too. Cause instead of just being, transparent, I'm gonna be vulnerable.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a difference between the two, right?
Yeah.
Right. So yes. Vulnerability. Yes. So here it is. I don't like this gray hair. I'm gonna be honest. You know, I can rock with it.
I think he looks amazing.
I think you look great.
You know, and I appreciate all that from y'all. You know, oh yeah, distinguished. That's what everybody says. Yeah. So, but I just don't like it. There's something in me that just hasn't. I've heard all that from everybody. So from the outside, I feel it, but it just doesn't penetrate as much because on the inside, I'm just like, I remember when it was nice and, you know, just dark black, jet black.
But you're as buff as like a 25-year-old bodybuilder. So does that not help? Does that not help?
Not at all, bro.
Is that not enough?
Because 99% of the time my shirt's on during the day, so all I see is the gray.
Oh, all right, so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get you a fishnet shirt.
Oh, thank you. My
bring
goodness.
It full circle.
I so appreciate
wow.
that. Just be careful when you search for it. You know?
I know. We're gonna pay
all
for
that
it.
Being said, it's like there's this like echo of, in the back of my brain of like, dude, you're aging. And it can cause you to look at a mirror and almost despise one of the greatest seasons you can have.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Dude, so what, you got a few wrinkles and things are, you know, sinking a little bit and it ain't what it used to be. Stuff ain't as perky, but you've survived. You've made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's this battle to now say, how do I, within my own mind's eye, not despise this season because of what once was between you and your spouse at 18, 19, you know, 25 years old. And I remember there were some sessions where we were talking to some couples and they literally were fighting to try to get back the same type of sex, the same type of connection that they had at 19.
Yeah. You can't compare the two.
And I'm like, dude, this is different. Yeah. Your knees don't work the same as they did. Hers don't work the same as they did.
Right.
So y'all got to find old people sex now. And it could be good.
It could be
wonderful.
It could be better, though, because of the history you
That's
have together.
That's what I'm saying.
What you've lived through.
It should have so much more meaning when you tap into it spiritually. But what we're warring against, there's this despising this season.
Oh, yeah.
That causes it to taste bitter and it should be great. So there's something in us that has to say, you know what, God, thank you for the years you've given me. Thank you for 18, 19, 20 years with these beautiful kids. Thank you for that season. Like, thank them for it.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Be grateful and then say, but God, I thank you that if I'm still breathing, there's still more for our marriage in the next season.
Yes.
You know,
we're
going to
transition forward.
I was thinking maturity and experience makes everything better.
Absolutely.
Yes, it does.
You got it just right. makes everything better.
Yeah. I'm talking fine wine.
Yeah, like fine wine.
It gives a depth to and enriches the experience. Yeah.
Guys, this
you guys
is,
are amazing. We could talk
really
like for another hour.
I feel like this has been one of the most meaningful conversations we've had on the podcast.
I love it.
Since it started. And this is meaningful for us.
Yeah, we're learning.
Like, we're learning.
Yeah.
I'm soaking all this 100%. Up. And guys, if you want more, this is just a taste of the Wisdom of the Reeds. They have an incredible podcast here on the XO Marriage Podcast Network and also an incredible book, both with the same title, Marriage in Transition. Mm-hmm. And if you find yourself in a transition of becoming an empty nester or really
any
other major transition of life or marriage, their insights are going to be so helpful. Because the truth is, we're always in some kind of transition.
That's right.
And so it's relevant to you in every stage, but especially those who are entering into that empty nest or new to it, I'm telling you, they are living it and they're doing it right. And they're making me more excited than ever about that season coming. And can't wait.
Definitely check it out. And we love you guys. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
And you guys, thank you all so much for tuning into the Naked Marriage Podcast. We will see you next time.